This is Health Unabashed, broadcasting live on Healthcare Now Radio. Health Unabashed is a conversational platform where healthcare meets innovation. We engage top industry talent and dive into the heart of health and wellness from vision to business model to bring you the latest developments in health tech to promising AI applications, policy, and ultimately impact on the public's health and well-being. I'm Greg Masters, co-host and executive producer, and I'm joined by the digital health aficionado himself, author, editor, global thought leader, and in his executive capacity, steward servant Gil Bash. Together, we're on a mission to bring you the people, the ideas, and the companies that are not just talking the talk, but walking the talk. On today's menu, we are in the company of Hal Wolf, president and CEO of HIMSS, the Health Information Management Systems Society. Hal is a global advisor and thought leader supporting the transformation of the health ecosystem through information and technology. HIMSS is gathering in Orlando for its annual conference and exhibition March 11th through the 15th, 2024. For more information, visit www.himsconference.org. So with no further delay, Gil, the mic is yours.
Greg, I want to thank you for the wonderful introduction. And also, I'm very much looking forward to you. You and I are going to be together. I think you're recording right now this show from Mexico, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm in Los Angeles. And you and I are both headed pretty soon east to Florida, to Orlando, where we'll be attending HIMSS. HIMSS is probably one of the largest gatherings of health information professionals in the world. And we have a very special guest with us today. I know that anybody who would know this would like to join us for the recording of the show. And we have with us Hal Wolf. Hal is the CEO of HIMSS. He is really more than just the sort of the operational and visionary head. He's a person throughout his career has lived the health system. He was with Kaiser Permanente, he was with Chartis. He's had executive roles at both of those organizations. I think, Hal, you were also a board member of HIMSS at one point, a vice chair of HIMSS. Your commitment to the organization is very, very clear. And now he serves as CEO of this massive organization. It's a society, as Hal reminded me, and as we were sort of getting together, it's a society because it's so vast and expansive. It includes people from varied health disciplines who all recognize at the heart of improving care delivery, care efficiency, care costs lies, of course, information. Hal, welcome to the program. What a thrill to have you, especially since we're on a countdown together in Orlando.
Well, Gil, thank you so much for having me. And Greg, thank you so much for riding shotgun over.
You know, Hal, I was just thinking, so many people think of HIMSS. And by the way, we're recording live from Vive right now. They think of HIMSS like Vive or Health or these other industry mammoth gatherings, reunions. And certainly, it's a delight to see people in the hallways and meeting rooms of HIMSS. But HIMSS is, it really could not, as a meeting, really be shortchanging this great society and its membership. Now, I just reflect in speaking to your staff, you're dealing with issues that really are at the very heart of the structure of the health ecosystem, its fragility and its potential. So I know that you're dealing, of course, with privacy issues, cybersecurity issues, health equity issues, the future of how technology, or the present of how technology can be deployed to access information. I've attended sessions that dealt with how augmented intelligence, AI, is changing health systems right now around the world. You've had plenary sessions on that. But those sessions, from the best of my knowledge, are really not the be-all and end-all of those topics. You and your colleagues are working tirelessly all through the year. And I think people would just love to know if you could just spend a few moments. Your role as CEO guiding all of these different agenda, what are the big topics on your plate right now, aside obviously from looking at getting together with us in 2 weeks, but you're doing a lot of things in the Beltway, in capitals around the world, state capitals, other professional associations. Are you a CEO, or are you really the ambassador of health information to the rest of the health ecosystem?
It's a great question. I think the answer is probably a little bit of both. The reach of HIMSS is phenomenal because it's an extremely trusted advisor. We're not walking in the door really trying to sell anything. We don't represent a trade, if you would. What we talk about is levels of innovation and capabilities that are facing every single healthcare system in the world. We're all trying to solve largely the same challenges and problems. And to your point, while the event is fantastic in Orlando, HIMSS operates in a 365-day-a-year program, which is everything from analytics and media and professional development or membership value, whether it's at local chapters or communities around the world. So we really have a huge responsibility. We're not here to throw a good party. We are, and we enjoy a good party, but it's much, much deeper than that. And the goal is to really work with ministers of health and the WHO and the UN and individual healthcare systems and the individual on a year-round basis in order to help tackle these significant challenges that are in front of us.
You know, I was thinking last week, of course, one of the great, you know, health plans had a cybersecurity glitch. And for about, I think, something like 8 hours or 10 hours, people could not get their prescriptions if they were a member of that plan. The pharmacy just wasn't able to operate. You know, people were desperate, had to pay cash, obviously, for prescriptions. You know, the health industry is so vulnerable. I know you're working with obviously the top professionals in health systems in this country and the world to explore this. I know you're working obviously within your own policy group. You have a very strong policy arm within HIMSS. I'd be curious if you could just give us some perspective, because it's so critical, not just to people's privacy, but the ability for diagnostic machines to work, for remote technologies or remote patient monitoring to be safe and effective, for us to access even our electronic medical records. Cybersecurity is at the core of this. And I'm wondering if you could reflect for our listeners just a little bit about what you and your HIMSS colleagues are doing working with government to make sure that, you know, we can really continue to be state of the art when it comes to protecting information.
But I think there's nothing more pressing than the protection at the individual, the regional, the national level around health information, because it is incredibly personal. And everyone wants to start in a world where we have access to de-identify data on scale so that we can do research and population health. That drives a fundamental ecosystem, which allows us to develop clinical utilities and technologies that when I feed my own personal data in at my choice, or my healthcare professional chooses to use it at their choice, it helps give me direction on what I should be doing to take care of myself and influence a healthcare system at scale about what are the major issues that are in front of them. So when you have a disruption because of cybersecurity, there's the threat of your personal information getting out, which is absolutely critical and true. And then there's the, you noted earlier, the disruption of service. And one day, much less 8 hours, or even 2 hours of disruption that's hitting a pharmacy or hitting any particular issue inside operations, whether it's clinical. And by the way, this is true outside in from the home back to the institution as well. Well, I'm sure we'll talk about that. That it can be a devastating piece for the individuals that need that prescription drug, violates their day, it violates their privacy. So HIMSS works at the national level, works at the regional level, it works with governments around the world to help understand what are the boundaries of cybersecurity. We have seminar every single year in the cybersecurity forum. We invite in the FBI that help train individuals on what to do and how to respond. And there are different types of cybersecurity. It comes from a 15-year-old who gets a really good hack going and breaks in, and I've seen that happen. I mean, we've seen that happen. And then you also have organized crime doing cybersecurity, where they're going to want to hold hostage. So all of those things are about shutting down vulnerabilities. And the point about cybersecurity is that there's no one place. It has to start at the most basic element of your infrastructure. You have to build your ecosystem with cybersecurity in mind. The new InfraM model that we just recently launched focuses on cybersecurity. And then you have to stay on top of it with the greatest in information of what's occurring. But let's be clear, breaches are going to happen. You know, we've even seen breaches at the national securities in our own institutions. And these are the areas in the Pentagon that have the highest level of security possible. Breaches can and will occur. But your job is to minimize it, have backup systems, and to understand where your vulnerabilities are, so that you can respond. And we help along those lines by giving advice and bringing the experts to the provider community, which is our heart and soul of who we are. And we work on this all year round.
Just dropping in, you're right on time for Health Unabashed on Healthcare Now Radio. Today, we're chatting with Hal Wolf, the president and CEO of HIMSS. Hal is a global advisor and thought leader, supporting the transformation of the health ecosystem through information and technology. Stay tuned for the rest of the story.
I'm glad you said the provider community. The sense of, you know, when we look at health, we tend to forget it's a health ecosystem. And the business papers tend to really get very excited about the pharma industry, you know, new drugs developed and so forth. That's a very small piece of the overall health, infrastructure of this nation. Hospital systems, outpatient clinics, technology, all of that is vastly larger. It's not as dynamic, and it doesn't reach the front pages of the New York Times. We don't say new breakthrough way to use electronic medical records as a front page story. But when we have a new treatment, obviously it reaches the front pages of the Times or Wall Street Journal. And I wanted to explore that for a little bit, because so much in the advance or access to care is based upon information. And I wanted to get your thought about this. You know, the more information we create, there's a new surge of information anxiety that exists on the part of the health profession. So on one hand, we're amassing more data. We're developing tools to scrape or understand, machine learn, pattern recognition, these data. On the other hand, at the end of the funnel, we have health professionals, doctors, nurses, physicians assistants, technicians that have to deploy the data. So much of this is really based at the end of the day in terms of human behavior. And, you know, I meet with a lot of clinicians. This is a true story. I was speaking to one nurse about a patient, and I suggested that she look in the electronic medical record. And she said to me, I don't have time to look at the electronic medical record. So on one hand, we're spending all this time creating systems to amass data, assemble it, offer it. On the other hand, humanity is saying, whoa, enough with your data. I can't digest all the stuff I've got to do, plus read your data. How do we reconcile this? I mean, on one hand, we're dealing with all this information innovation. On the other hand, we're still dealing with human behavior. Are there any thoughts from your perspective about this?
100% there are. Look, everything is people, process, and technology. When you get to the fundamentals of how you're going to execute and utilize the tools of technology, technology isn't our challenge. It's the processes that sit behind it, and it's training the people on where technology is your friend. And the dissemination, and this is a big difference, is between the difference between data and information. So data is just a bunch of ones and zeros that are sitting inside servers. When we start comparing the data and labeling it and comparing it to each other, we begin to create information. And the information that we need to utilize in order to treat a specific patient or a certain circumstance is just a tiny little, you know, grain of sand on the beach against all the information that exists. Information in the world is doubling now about every 9 to 10 months, doubling globally. And everyone, if you don't understand that, go grab your phone from 3 years ago and look at how much information and even storage was on it. And now look at what's on your phone today. So it's just doubling constantly. But we have to synthesize this, and we have to bring the gap of all this data that's being accumulated to find the grains of sand that make important points to the individual. At the clinician level, we've been having them put data in manually, and we're starting to see the global app ecosystem really develop decent natural language capability. So when a physician's talking and then or a clinician's talking and a patient is talking, it's grabbing the right pieces of data and putting them into the EMRs or other apps that behind it. And that is being turned into information that needs to be brought forward in a timely manner. If you've got to go into an EMR to hunt for that information, that's where people get a little tired. But if you have something that's coming to you based upon the relevancy of the moment on a proactive basis, based upon the information that you now have, which is all based upon an extreme amount of data that got to that point of reconciliation, that's amazing. And so that starts to help the clinician, and it starts to help the patient. And that allows for care in the home, and that allows for care in the clinic. And when those two pieces meet, now we have the opportunity to really sing off the same song sheet. And that's where we're headed very rapidly in this new digital domain.
Well, I'm just thinking about this, and I'm wondering if your skill, not just as an ambassador for the discipline, but your understanding uniquely how the pieces fit together. How do you draw on your Kaiser Permanente background? And the fundamentals of your executive career were in the system. You were connected to HIMSS as an executive volunteer, in essence. And so you were still drawing on that background as a consultant in the system as well. Do you think that you draw intuitively back into what it's like to sit in the customer seat as you sit now at the CEO's?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I was very fortunate 20 years ago, a little over 20 years ago, to join Kaiser.
So when you were about 28, 29, when you were at Kaiser Permanente, right?
Just before my 21st birthday. Yeah, it was exactly right. But when I joined, I came from a world of a lot of innovation. At Time Warner, I was part of developing video on demand. I worked overseas in the delivery of what was Sky Interactive. So I was very involved in interactivity and the development of new applications, whether they were e-business, et cetera. And then I came into healthcare. And I remember the words of the CIO that I came to work for initially in healthcare, Cliff Dodd. And Cliff and I had worked together a little in telecom, and he got to Kaiser a year and a half ahead of me, and recruited me in. And he said, "I got to warn you about two things." He said, "First of all, healthcare is 10 years behind the rest of the world, and Kaiser at this moment is 10 years behind healthcare." And we actually had to build an ecosystem from the very beginning. And then you had the vision of George Halverson, who was CEO at the time. And what we were able to create, start to build, were clinical decision support systems that look very standard to what you see today, but we were building them 20 years ago. And I worked very closely with the physician groups so much that inevitably I moved over to the physician groups and became the chief operating officer for the group that oversaw the 16,000 physicians that were at KP.
That's quite an impressive position.
It was a wonderful position. I was very, very fortunate to get it and have it. But what we were able to do was work with some amazing physician leaders who understood that if we could get the right information into the hands of the physician at the right time, it would be able to look at how the system and the individual could be treated in a better way. And we began to use that information to support the physician, to support the clinician. So I draw on that every day. And I think what we see now is an extension of that in a second, third, fourth generation, well past where we started. But I was just overseas, and I walked in at a very important healthcare system. And they said, "Gosh, we have this brand new system, and it's wonderful. And we turn on our computers in the morning, and it tells us here are the five 4, 5, 6 individuals we need to get in immediately because this is what their test said, or now they're due for this follow-up. And it's giving them a hierarchy of who to treat. And that's critically important in a world where demand is always going to exceed the supply of clinicians that are available. And that gap continues to grow. So this ability to harness the information at the operational level, that's what I love. That's what brought me to HIMSS in the first place as a member over 20 years and then joining the board, because I saw how information and then later technology and then back again could be harnessed and utilized to improve outcomes and quality. And that is where I get excited about how we built these things into our maturity models. We just think of what that operational perspective is every day. And then we try to help and shape the regulatory environment so that we get access to that information in a timely way to support the global app ecosystem and do it in a safe way so that the individual patient, the community, the country, the region can do so in a secure manner and know they're doing the right thing.
So I wanted to pick up on something you just said. No, we talk, we insert in our language that word innovation from time to time. And, you know, obviously there are large innovators. I know, I don't know if it was for the first time, but obviously, you know, companies like Microsoft were very present last year at HIMSS. I think it was a first where they took a central exhibit. And it's impressive. It's great that people are realizing HIMSS is common ground. But I think of the bedrock of innovation are these startups. And I meet them all around the world. And one of the things that really strikes me about these younger companies, they're not all 2-3 people. Sometimes they're even a few hundred. But when I speak with them about their ideas, it could be a technology, an augmented information technology that is implanted to scrape data off of EMRs or records for billing purposes, all different types. ChatGPT technologies, large language models, you name it. And I speak to them and I start to realize they actually know very little about how the health system works. They know everything about their technology. They don't understand, and they have a doctor who's an advocate, and I have to explain that doctor is very senior, very well known, and is not an expert in information technology. They're not sitting to the left or the right of the chief information officer or the chief technology officer. That person has to deal with budget, staffing, servicing, cybersecurity, and they lack the sophistication about the system that they wish to impact and how that system works. And I wanted to ask you, because so much of our success really rests on this next wave of ideas. I refer to them as actually the laboratory for Microsoft and Apple and Epic. You know, they're coming up with ideas. Business development people on the other end are sorting through and deciding to acquire. Does HIMSS do anything for that community? And the reason I think it's so important, I know at least 10 startup companies have approached me that they're going to HIMSS and I should chat with them. Is there some learning mechanism for those companies to learn about the audience they seek to impact?
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, your observation skill are spot on. So when you are thinking about innovation, and there are hundreds of incredible organizations that are startups and they're working their way through, you know, often they have an idea of solving a particular problem. And it's a very particular problem. They're motivated by a particular problem, family members, something happened, where they came across a piece of technology and they go, oh, this would be great if I applied it to healthcare. You know, so I'm going to take my hammer and look for a nail to drive it through. Yes. And so whenever you come into HIMSS this year in the innovation side, Innovation Connect, you're going to see constant mentoring. You're going to see seminars that take place or panels that are talking about that connectivity. This also happens at the chapter level, and it happens at our community levels as well, where we try to connect startups in conjunction with people who are actually in operations. Because to your point, healthcare is really difficult to initiate change because we have so much going on all the time that to do something at scale that has a protracted impact at the individual level, that's hard to do. And you've got to carve out of your budget innovation time, and you've got to carve out of your budget, you know, the ability to say, okay, I'm going to take 2% of my time and my expense and dedicate it towards innovation. And so we work with the provider side as well. We have the opportunities to come in, and we do it on a couple of our programs, DHI, which is our Digital Health Index. Are you prepared to innovate? And we coach organizations on the preparation for innovation so that when someone walks in with something that really works, they know how to implement. So it's on both sides of the equation, which is really hard to do. But you're absolutely right. Relevancy is everything. And also an organization has to be prepared to implement something new. And I just go back to the old formula I was taught by Dr. Michael Chase, you know, which is NT plus OO equals COO. New technology plus old organization equals costly old organization.
Wow. That's the theme for this conversation. You know, I think that anybody listening, whether they're the chief technology officer of a major health system or a VC-backed 25-person startup, obviously should be heading to HIMSS. I think you've mapped out a game plan for the community health that is extraordinary. Look, I think it would be an oversight not to acknowledge you and thank you and your team for your great leadership that has really... I would say it is the central nervous system of U.S. health delivery. Thank you very much for joining us. We're looking forward to seeing you at hand.
Thank you. It's been an honor.
And that, dear listeners, is the last note for today's Melody. A huge thank you to our worldwide audience for listening in. And a tip of the hat to our guest, Hal Wolf, President and CEO of HIMSS, the Health Information Management Systems Society. Do follow HIMSS on the web via www.hims.org and on Twitter via @HIMSS. Health Unabashed streams live 3 times a day on Healthcare Now Radio, Monday through Friday at 10:30 a.m., 6:30 p.m., and 2:30 a.m. Eastern, and that's 7:30 a.m., 3:30 p.m., and 11:30 p.m. Pacific. Stay social with Gil and me on Twitter via @Gil_Bash, and that is B-A-S-H-E, and Greg Masters, M-P-H, and that's Greg with 2 G's. And don't forget to give your tweet some zing with our hashtag, HealthUnabashed. Until we meet again, pursue your passion for better health with no apologies.